It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz joining us right now and every Friday at 4 o'clock. You know him, obviously, as one of the all-time great Philadelphia Eagles. You also know him from the NBC Sports Philly pre- and post-game show for the Eagles. Ron Jaworski, Jaws, how we feeling?
Spike, Ike, Fritz, always great with you guys on a Friday, albeit a rainy Friday. It's still a Friday afternoon.
Absolutely.
What's up, Jaws?
So, Jaws, we're having a conversation earlier about the potential, you know, Eagles potentially being without A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You know, you think run the ball more. We're also talking about perhaps something different schematically. You know, two tight ends, two backs, that sort of thing. Is 1 week enough time to implement schematic changes like that for this game? Or do you think they run schematically similar to what they've done before?
No, I think it'll be basically the same, but you certainly do game plan specifically for a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the injuries obviously compound that factor. You know, the one thing that I'm going to look for first is how we handle the blitz of Todd Bowles. And I think you guys have been talking about it all week. Todd Bowles just has our number. He has Jalen's number. That's why I want to see how Kellen Moore is going to handle this blitz packages. And I went back and looked at some tape from the 2021 playoff game, and, you know, there were blitzes that worked in that game that worked last year in the 23 playoff game. So we didn't make the correction under Nick Sirianni from year to year. I want to see how we handle the blitz pressure because Todd Bowles is an exotic designer of blitzes. Now, they're not those zero coverages where everybody comes. He'll sneak a guy or two at the line of scrimmage. He'll drop some out, and he'll fool you. So we want, to me, this is a good template and a good test for Jalen, how far he has improved in this system and how quick he can get rid of the football against the blitzes.
I thought them one of this. Defensively, our mindset, Jaws, would be, okay, you may have some inclement weather or what have you, so now the team is going to run. But Andy was one of those coaches I can always remember. He likes throwing the ball when it may be raining or something. What do you think Kellen does going into Sunday? Do you still look to try to throw the ball, or do you lean on Saquon?
I would lean on Saquon this game. Probably the most disappointing thing last week is in the first quarter, Saquon didn't touch the football. I think this game we got to be thinking 25 touches for the game starting early. One of the weaknesses of the Bucs is their defense. They are banged up on the defensive line. I don't know the official status of Vita Vea for Sunday, but he has not played. He's their plugger in the middle. He's the guy that kind of anchors their defense on the defensive line. So you can run the ball against this defense that's depleted right now. And I would say when you got a bunch of wide receivers who are introducing themselves in the huddle right now, go with the guy that's your bell cow, the guy that can get plays running the game and in the passing game. Give it to Saquon Barkley behind, I still believe, one of the league's best offensive lines.
So, Jaws, you know, we know they want to run the ball, so I would assume that the Tampa Bay Bucs know they want to run the ball. How does, you said, you know, it's on Kellen Moore in a lot of ways. If you're running your offense and the other team has positioned themselves to stop the run, what is it that you can do to still run the ball?
Yeah, you know, football is a game of adjustments. That's the name of the game. What you see from the week before is not necessarily what you're going to see from week to week. These coaching staffs now, the scouting departments are so sophisticated, they break down every single nuance of what you want to do on both sides of football. So, you know, I think what I'm seeing this year is early in games, teams seem to be they're probing the defense earlier with the running game, trying to see what you're going to get. Can you get someone to load up the box so we can get explosive play? So that part of the game hasn't changed. Early in the game, I think you need to test and see what your opponent's going to do because you just don't know from week to week in today's NFL.
Yeah.
Jaws,
look at last week, New Orleans Saints. We're scared to death of that running game. They're averaging 45.5 points a game, 106 yards rushing game. They couldn't pee a drop. Yeah, because our defense made the proper adjustments. I thought Vic Fangio had a phenomenal game plan last week. They set the edge with 5, 6, and sometimes even seven defensive players lined up near the line of scrimmage. I thought a great game plan. They took away the edge, you know, so they couldn't get to the outside. And teams change up from week to week based on what they see on tape.
So then that's actually a good comparison. So we essentially what the Eagles did last week by putting more guys on the line of scrimmage on some level was they were daring Derek Carr to go and beat us. So if, you know, we go into Tampa and they do the same things on some level, eventually that becomes on Jalen Hurts and Kellen Moore to not allow that to happen. Right. They will be daring Jalen Hurts.
Yes, I agree with you on that, Spike. That's what I would do. If you got a bunch of receivers, like I said, that really have never played together with a quarterback. I hadn't spent a whole lot of time with them. You know, I'm going to say, hey, you know what? Let those guys beat us. Let them try to beat us with backup players, guys that were just signed off the practice squad last week. I've not played a lot with Jalen in pressure pack situations in an NFL game. Hey, you know, let's see if those guys can beat us. I expect them to load up the box early and dare Jalen to throw the football. So, and it's going to be kind of one of those litmus test games for me. You know, when Jalen's got AJ and Devontae and Dallas and, you know, all the components with him, you know, he's a great player. Now, when you find out about great players is when you take away a lot of those weapons, when you've got to carry the load. And I believe he can carry the load, but I think that'll be the approach Todd Bowles will say, you know, we're going to take away everything. We're going to load the line. We're going to make Jalen Hurts beat us, either throwing the football or running it. And I think this is one game where Kellen will have some designed runs in there for Jalen to kind of break with the tendency of what the Bucs want to do.
When we look at the defense, great performance last week from these guys on our side. Can we duplicate that against Baker? I saw this before you answer that, Jaws. I saw watching a little bit of that game with Tampa Bay and the Denver Broncos last week. They got 7 sacks on Baker, and I thought the key was forcing Baker to hold the ball, getting him off his first read. He seems to want to be in a rhythm offensively, get the ball out of his hands quick, but if you make him hold on to it, I think you can have some success against him.
Yeah, I think you got to make him hold the football. That's why early in the down, I think you got to cover Chris Godwin. He's the guy they want to get the ball to. And when they look for big plays, you know, they want to get the ball down the field. You know, that's with Mike Evans. He's big, strong. You know, he can body you. He can take the ball away from you. So you know, they've got a good offense, but they don't run the ball worth a damn. You know,
right.
It's not what they want to do. I think if you contain Baker, he'll drop his face mask and look for plays to run the minute he feels pressure, and he's damn good at it. You know. I mean, you think the guy's improved most in the last few years in the NFL. You've got to include Baker Mayfield. He's playing really good football. But I think our defense line can get pressure on him. He's been pressured all season long. You know, I think he's playing very well, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and you know, doing the right thing with the football. But he's a guy that if you get him flustered, he will make mistakes. So I would load up on Baker Mayfield, and they say Godwin's got to beat me or Evans got to beat me down the field.
Charles, what do you make of, you know, Baker Mayfield's a good example of it, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith. What do you make of these quarterbacks who are drafted high, had failures for several years, and then maybe it takes them another team or two to become successful? Why do you think that's happening?
You just put that on a T for me, Spike. This is an easy answer. You know, it's called coaching, COACHING. I've never seen so many morons coaching this league like I tend to see over the last couple of years. And I'll give you like an example. Look at Patrick Mahomes, arguably the best player in the league right now. They're having another solid season. Not a great season, but a solid season. You know what he did year one? He sat on the bench. Mm. He sat and learned how to be a pro. He learned how to deal with his teammates, how to deal with the game of professional football, not just on the field, but off the field. He sat behind a real pro in Alex Smith. He learned the nuances of playing the position. To me, I'm old school in that regard. I think you need to learn to play the quarterback just before you put in the game. Look at Bryce Young right now. He's on the bench. I don't know if he'll ever get off the bench because he's beaten up so bad. The streets are littered with quarterbacks historically that were put in the field on the field way too often, and they failed, and they never recovered from because mentally they were beaten.
I think on some level, it's a really interesting quandary that teams find themselves in because the teams that draft these quarterbacks are the worst teams, and I think you know, these are franchises who are eager to become good again. So the idea of drafting a top-end quarterback and then bringing in Chase Daniel or, you know, when we had Donovan, Doug Peterson to come in and mm-hmm. steward the franchise and essentially almost, give up or to that extent. I just think it's an interesting challenge that teams face currently when they pick quarterbacks like that.
Yeah, it's hard to build a football team, and I think you know, we're fortunate in Philadelphia. You know, Howie Rosen's done a really good job of building and sustaining. You know, the NFL is built for the weaker teams to catch the dominant teams. That's what the draft is all about. You know, you go from the first pick to the 32nd pick. The fall off of talent is incredible. So if you're getting the first player in the draft, you should be getting a 10-year All-Pro League MVP type player. If you're getting the 32nd best player in the draft, you're probably getting a guy that'll be a good player. Should be an All-Pro player, but won't be a guy that'll dominate the league. So, I think the way the league is structured, you know, it almost forces some teams to want to play a young quarterback. I disagree with that. I just said it a moment ago, but that, you know, some teams decide to go that way because they feel pressure from ownership to win now. I draft this guy number one. I'm paying him millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, whatever the case may be. I want him on the field. We got to win with this guy. That's why we draft him. So there's a non-existent relationship that you have between an owner, a GM, and the coach. And obviously, when you start firing your coaches every year, you're never going to win. You are never, ever going to win if you think firing a coach every year is the answer.
Yeah.
Jaws, final question here. What do you make of all the conversation this week with the idea that Nick Sirianni, you know, may overrule Kellen Moore and say, hey, I want this play here and this play there? Do you think much ado about nothing, or do you think it speaks to something potentially going on over there?
I think it speaks to something, but I'm not worried about it whatsoever. I think that, you know, they have a system in place, and you know, I'm sure they discuss it every single day. The head coach is the boss. He's the CEO. If he wants to go up and say punt, kick a field goal, or throw a pass or run the football, that's his prerogative. He's the boss, and you know, if it's Kellen, he'll listen to him. If it's Vic, he'll listen to him. Although I don't think he has a whole lot to say about what they're doing defensively. You know, Nick is still a very good football offensive mind. He knows, you know, what he has on his team. He knows the talent better than anybody. If he feels something, you know, I have no problem with him going up and, you know, going up and say, hey, run this play, run that play, go for it, don't go for it. He's the boss. He's the CEO. I just think he'll understand. Take points when they're available. Take the points. That'll be my chance this year. Take the points.
Yeah, won't be.
Yeah, it used to be run the ball. Now it's take the points.
I think it might be both. We might want to alternate. All right, Jaws. Well, we heard you. You're being honored tonight over at Cooper for all the great work that you do. So
you and your lovely wife, Liz, man, awesome. Awesome! Congratulations.
We're actually in the car right now, heading over to the Cooper Gallery. The Cooper Hospital does phenomenal work in the whole region right now, and it's a good fundraiser for their foundation. And Liz and I we're humbled but honored that they chose us, and hopefully we'll raise money so we can help more kids and people in our community.
All right, Jaws,
you're the best, brother.
See you on the NBC Sports Philly pre and post game show on Sunday. Let's go get a win. Head into the bye 3-1.
I got us 27-24.
The win.
Love it.
Gotta win.
I love it. All right, Jaws.
All right, brother.
There he is, Ron Jaworski.
There you go. 27 points?
with who? Not with my plan.
I'm thinking AJ's playing Sunday.
Well, it seems that way.
It feels like he's playing.
So, Jack, you said he's questionable officially, and so is Lane
Johnson. Officially questionable, Lane, and then Devontae is out.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Lane is either he's cleared or he's not, right?
I think they probably had that last phase to get through.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. OG Wade, you're on WIP. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How are we doing today?
Hi. OG?
It's a great Friday, man. Spike, I agree with you, man.
Which thing?
I expect a win.
Yes, sir.
I expect a win on Sunday.
Talk to Ike.
And
convince him. Yeah.
No. Ike with me once I get this out.
All right.
Yeah. Here's what I see right now, is that a lot of people has complaints about Jalen style of play or whatever. He turned the ball over too much. But when you talk about that, and then when you reference Patrick Mahomes having it, everybody acknowledges it. They catches what you're saying. But then when they give their final analysis, they absolutely act like they forgot that part. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not telling you guys something that you haven't heard before. What I see with Jalen, the reason why Jalen, Dan Orlovsky said he holding on to the ball too long, it's not really a fact there. What is happening is that defenses are coming up, showing him all-out blitzes. And then at the snap of the ball, they're spurting out into different areas, which makes Jalen have to now reassess what he's seeing, which takes time. You know, we've seen him on Sunday throw the ball fast when he's expecting an all-out blitz and it was the wrong decision. This is why a quarterback will hold on to the ball net. But here's what I don't see out of Jalen that I see out of other young quarterbacks. When they throw intercept or turn the ball over too many times, they start to get rattled. Then you start to see chinks in their armor, and then they just start out there just playing horrible. I don't see that with Jalen. What I see is a consistency of calmness. I see something, and then they're resolved to be able to make up for his mistakes. And he's not a repeat offender in terms of throwing the ball in the same areas that he turned the ball over once before. Now, the fumbles, that I cannot sit here and justify with you. You know what I'm saying? He even admit that he got to take care of it. But he dropped jewels that we dropped. The jewel that he dropped was that he says, I give my receivers an opportunity to make a play.
No, he doesn't.
Throw the balls. giving this guy, and that is all every receiver that plays this game, they wish that their quarterback just give them an opportunity to make a play. And that's what I see. So if it turns into a turnover, then so be it. But you
That's not true. OG, we can't. No, hell no. You can't finish when you say if it turns into a turnover, so be it.
Jalen's new nickname is Limbo because everybody lowers the bar for him.
I was with you on a lot of the other stuff, but we got to take care of the ball, OG. Got to take care of the ball.
Let me land my plane, Ike. Let me land my plane.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Let me land the plane. There you go.
I'm sorry.
Like Hinky could never do.
Now, when I say so be it, but now if you're going to take that attitude of saying so be it, that means you have to have the ability to make that up. You have to. If that's how your mindset is going to be, you better be able to back it up. Just like a person that talks trash on the field. What we say, as long as he can back it up, I ain't got a problem with you talking it on the field.
Right.
So far in Jalen Hurts' career, he's been able to back it up. That's all I'm saying. Now, no, is the turnovers bad? Absolutely. Every one of them is bad in my book. But you better have the ability to back it up. That's all I'm saying.
And you're speaking to his winning percentage as a quarterback, because winning is what people will overlook turnovers for if you're winning games.
Right, that's what I'm speaking to. Because here's the deal, we all sit here and say winning is not a quarterback record.
It's
but
not.
Guess what? If your quarterback ain't winning, guess what you're doing? You're getting rid of that joker. So it damn sure is a winning is a part of the quarterback's aroma. You know what I'm saying? It's a part of it.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't clearly define how he played that day is the point.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I get what you.
And it works the other way as well. He can have a great game in the defense. You know, you've said this plenty of times.
Yep.
You can't have a defense giving up 30 points a game, right? So,
absolutely.
And he'll get that L on his record, but he may have played great.
Yep. And that's why I'm going to bless y'all three guys. That's a part of my foxhole, even though I'm not a part of yours, with some T-shirts that says it takes all of us.
I'll wear it.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I'm wearing that, OG. Yeah. I wear all your stuff. Yeah.
Now, Ike wants a tri blend. Jack and I want a Comfort Colors 100%
strictly
cotton.
Comfort Colors.
Yeah. I got you.
Right. Yeah,
Jack,
get that in the budget.
Jack probably wants something with some toes hanging out and all that old Jesus stuff. You know what I mean?
Birkenstocks are in.
No, they're not in.
Yes, they are.
I appreciate you.
My curved ass toes, yeah, they're in.
They're not in, dude. They're not in anywhere. You wear them at inappropriate times. Jack and I are going to an event tomorrow, and we had to tell him no shorts, no sandals,
which was sickening.
Well,
it's 2024.
It's indoors
in this economy.
Except
late, in this economy,
it's not on the beach.
You can't afford a whole shoe.
Yeah. Idiot.
In this economy.
What a moron.
Here's what I can't take about OG, okay? Yeah. It's that he gives receivers a shot. No, he doesn't. He doesn't take shots down the field. Like Josh Allen gave guys shots. Brett Favre gave guys shots.
Well,
like,
he'll throw it up to AJ.
So, sure, AJ. But, like, he's on pace for, what, under 20 passing touchdowns? Like, usually when they got the high interception guys that give teammates a chance, it's 40 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. That's all I'm saying.
I acknowledge that Patrick Mahomes is throwing interceptions, but you can't just say they're both throwing interceptions. It's just different. I don't even know what to say. It's one guy's Patrick Mahomes.
Well, one guy's won a Super Bowl already. But that's the only thing that's different.
Yeah.
But he's not winning a Super Bowl right now, and it doesn't change.
Sure.
Doesn't change the fact that he's throwing interceptions right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's just like a weird. It's like saying, Johan Rojas strikes out a lot, so does Bryce Harper. It's just like, okay, I understand they're both striking out, but when they're not striking out, one of them succeeds at a different level than the other one does, they're not striking out.
Sure.
You know, also, hit me 35 home runs, and then you can strike out 185 times
that's
a year.
That's why we allow Schwarber to strike out 200 times a year.
Yep, we're Schwarber guys.
Lead off hitter.
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying, but to Spike's point, he makes up for it in so many other ways.
Right.
And what Jalen does is he convinces the defense to play well that day so that he can score 15 points and another win on his resume.
I do acknowledge that Jalen does not seem to get flustered.
So
I agree.
Let me ask y'all this, though. See, this is where y'all back me in the corner, and I gotta fight and scratch and claw to come out.
I knew this was gonna come.
I gotta fight. Well, hold on.
Yep, no, it's
he
fair.
Doesn't throw 30 or 40 touchdowns, but he rushes for 14 touchdowns a year.
He gets his ass pushed.
Yeah. Those should count for half.
Asterisks on those.
I'm glad you losers who drafted him aren't getting those free touchdowns this year.
Yeah, it's like the Ben Simmons created three-pointers.
Yeah.
No, not as bad as that.
No, it's not as bad as that. Yeah, I agree. I actually have to back Ike on that one. That is not nearly as bad.
Oh, we hadn't heard that one in a while.
Yeah, I've never heard that one.
You know what the problem is?
What?
Well, the only reason I looked at it again, I have new drops I'm trying to incorporate.
Oh, so you got
to
get rid of old ones.
And I'm trying to decide which ones I can get rid of.
Yeah.
And I like that drop too much to get rid of.
Yeah, I like the thanks, man. Well, we don't even talk about him anymore, so.
Well, he's going to be free agent after this year, so.
I had to figure out how to work this one in.
I like to do the show blind.
Oh. What?
When did I say that? What was that for?
It was like 2 days ago.
Yeah, it was like 2 days ago.
Yeah. To be clear, I am not a fun person. That's also
2 days
ago.
You just got to make your own drops. Yeah.
Per usual.
So coming up next, yes. is actually a really big segment. First of all, if you need to be talked into believing that the Eagles will win, we have someone who will talk you into it. You will be terrified to not believe the Eagles will win. Also,
I think I might need Rios.
Yes. Also, Rios and Itami from down the shore is an all-timer. And Dave Dombrowski was on the WIP Morning Show today, and he spoke about why they did not go after a fifth starter harder at the trade deadline, and perhaps what the team is thinking about the importance of the number one seed. Speaking of the Phillies, by the way, we did have Kyle Schwarber on the show earlier today. If you missed it, it was about 2:15. You can scroll back in the Odyssey app on the Rewind feature or afterwards. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Just subscribe to it. We need to get our podcast numbers up.
Need to,
subscribe
yes.
to it. So all of that is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.